When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
This is a very special episode for me because I took a 19-hour train ride prior to this recording.
Crazy. And You did it as an experiment. You're writing a big piece about this?
Yeah, I'm kind of doing a Kerouac thing where I could afford the flight and had nothing to do with that. And I just wanted to, it's called Being European in America. And it was a nightmare. And I slept like 2 hours and met a lot of Amish people, on the train.
Really? I didn't think about that. Is that like an Amish thing?
I didn't actually talk to them, but there was a huge group and one of them sat next to me for a while and we didn't talk, but none of them had phones, which was wild. They had to ask for someone else's phone to like make a call. And I was like, this is crazy. And then this group of Amish people got off and then another group of Amish people like replaced them. So I don't know if that was coordinated or what, but it was a wild experience.
Hey, Amtrak, that's what the AM stands for. Amtrak, the Amish. At every station, they have a new refillable for you.
I'll talk more about it on the Patreon because it was a wild thing. But the one thing that happened is another guy who sat next to me for a while, he was doing the thing where he was playing music out of his phone speaker and he had headphones on him. And I saw him using headphones earlier and then he pulled them out and started listening to stuff out loud. I was just like, you can't do that. It was like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, please don't do this.
It's so crazy when people don't in situations like that, don't know that everybody just wants to sleep. Like I took a red eye and I had two guys on either side of me. I was in a middle seat on a red eye and the guys beside me had a full-on conversation and they were like slapping each other's knees, like laughing like over me. And I was like, this is it was like I was on a prank show that had no, it was like a prank show that got canceled before the first episode aired. So I got no payoff. That's enough to make you lose your mind. I'm excited to see the energy you're gonna bring today. I expected even snarkier Tommy than normal. I'm also coming off of something kooky. I just did a house show in New Jersey. It was a Friends themed house show that took me like 3 hours to get to, and it was the person who put it together claimed they were not QAnon and then said a lot of QAnonish things during my set. It was not good. And then hopefully none of them are listening. They were nice people. Except, I mean, the wife of the woman who put it together was nice, but right before my set, she just stopped the show for like 40 minutes because she had to go to the bathroom and then they couldn't get everybody back. And it was rough. And it was Friends themed, but like nothing about it. Like the stand-up show was nothing to do with Friends. It was crazy, but pretty weird. So we're coming in hot. And we have a great episode today. We're so excited to bring in our guest today. Elliot Glazer's here, everybody.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Of course. We've been looking forward to it. You're in LA now?
Yes, I'm in LA.
How is LA going?
Everything's fine. We have masks back on, which is infuriating, but I'm like, I've never felt more Trumpian in my life. I'm close to like Karening out on people like the other way, you know. I'm vaccinated. You can't tell me. It's like, oh God, I'm just trying to play it cool, but I really hate it. And I ended up just, I guess, in an act of pseudo rebellion. I was like, you know what? If I can't jog in this, if this mask is going to be difficult for jogging, I'm going to get one that allows me to not. I basically found like the dumbest mask online. That's like that any like older white woman would wear at the, or in the early part of the pandemic where people would be like, that's not a mask, you know, but it's basically like for dental assistants. And it's like, it like goes around my chin and like has like a sort of a barrier, you know, over the mouth. And it's like, yeah, this doesn't work. But for me, I'm like, you know what? I'm vaccinated and I can't run in a regular mask. You know, I've turned into like that person.
It is funny how like complicated it's gotten, where it's like, people were saying this in New York too, where it's like, they took away masks. If you're vaxxed, you don't need it. But then if you see someone with a mask on, does that mean they are anti-vax, but they still believe in the disease enough to wear a mask? Like,
no, it makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, there's no real correlation there. Cause you're like, if you're respectful enough to wear a mask because you're not vaccinated, then like, you are the walking contradiction. And, but also thank you, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how to, I don't know where to go with that.
It's very complicated. I was with an LA comic when they announced that they were bringing back the masks, and she was so bummed. And I was like, yeah, I like, I'm going to be in LA next year. And I was like, God, I hope that at least by then,
oh my God, next like... year, Jesus, I hope it's over next week. Oh my God. You know, it's easy to feel like annoyed that we're going backwards because of the people who are holding it up, holding us up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the same time, I mean, my personal feeling is like, you know, if it's a matter of protecting like kids or like immunocompromised people, then it's like, okay, I'm happy to like do that for the greater good. But if it's for the people who won't actually do the thing for the greater good themselves, then I'm resentful and, you know, want to throw a hissy fit.
Of course. And it's like, not to get too, you know, preachy or whatever, but it's like, it's, they're not doing anything. They're not stopping their shit.
Correct.
It's only affecting us. And like,
exactly.
And you know, as stand-up comics, it scares me because it's like, we just got to a point where we can do this again.
Yes.
And if they take it away because of people like that, it's going to really, it's going to suck. Like it's,
well,
it's,
yeah. I have very like doomsday, a couple of doomsday-esque friends who are like, we're going back to lockdown. I'm like, no, we're not.
Yeah. I don't think we are though.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, I understand the safety precautions, but I do also feel like it is because I'm in LA, you know. This is like in, you know, in like Florida, anything like this happening would potentially lead to like World War III, you know.
Yeah.
But here everyone's on the more patient side and understanding. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate that. But I definitely have my like, you know, my native New Yorker energy burning through with rage.
I had trouble because I was in LA during the beginning of the pandemic. I was out there for work when it started, and then I just got stuck there because it didn't make sense to travel back to New York. But so I jogged too, and jogging in LA, I wouldn't see a soul on the street.
Right.
For 2 miles sometimes. Right. And it's like, I'm wearing a mask for what? Like, I'm,
well, you were one. I mean, yeah, you were one of the good ones. I mean, early on when it was like, you know, eventually we found out for the most part that like, you can't really get it in the outside in the air. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning it was, you know, absolutely terrifying, which I guess might be easy to forget, but I was so angry at the joggers who were like jogging around like the reservoir. It's like, if you're gonna jog and you're not gonna wear a mask, then just you have plenty of space.
There's
like,
so
go
much
somewhere else.
There's so many places you can go where there's nobody. Like
it's so weird.
Whereas here, jogging outside was brutal, and you have to wear a mask because it's in New York. It's just like, everywhere you go, there's people. So
yeah, but New Yorkers clamped down very quickly. And you know, also that was not a surprise to me that it was like, oh, nope, let's get this shit out of here.
Tommy, real fast, was there mask stuff on the train? Or was, I mean, 19 hours of wearing a mask seems pretty brutal.
Yeah, so they were doing kind of the same thing as the airline where you had to have it unless you were actively eating or drinking. And I would say most people were surprisingly good about it.
Yeah.
There were a few people that had to get talked to a few times, and I was just like, luckily they were not too close to me, so I was like, but it was daunting. I was just like,
the Amish people wear masks.
They were the ones who had to get talked to.
Of course. Like, it's so funny. I was like afraid to ask that because I was like, is it like racist to not touch
the Amish? They're going on an Amtrak is like us going on a spaceship. They're like, well, you know, I don't know what planet I'm going to, you know, and you tell them about COVID and they're like, I don't know what that is, you weirdo, you know.
Well, and then like also mean. I think when they got talked to, they figured out a workaround where they were just eating the whole time.
I was about to say that's not a bad strategy. Yeah. If you really hate them, ask, just gain a lot of weight by just you never stop eating.
Well, they had this giant thing of blueberries that they were eating. I was like, you don't want that many blueberries, you just don't want to wear the mask.
That is gnarly to me.
Just eating one piece of rice at a time. Technically I'm eating. Yeah. I was on a plane where somebody did that, where they were like, I'm taking a drink, and the flight attendant, I'd be like, no, you're not, like, the cap is still your thing, you haven't, you've been doing this the whole flight. And the lady was like, it's so weird to see an adult, like a person who's like
a baby,
yeah, who's like has to be minimum like 39-40, just going like, you've been bullying me the whole flight. Yeah.
Watching adults act like babies is so bizarre, and also so uniquely American, you know?
Yeah.
Like, never before have I, never ever before have I been like creeped at, like the American flag like triggers me now, where I'm like, it used to be a point of pride, and now I'm terrified because when I see it, I kind of just relate it to like the Trumpy, scary, like bullies. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's crazy that they've sort of co-opted that without even trying, you know. Yeah. It's crazy. But I'm just, yeah, I'm like, these are the people who are like angry for kind of no reason, or the, you know, the most angry for the least amount of reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild.
All right, we should get into our topic today, because it's a good one. I was so excited that you pitched this. Our topic today on the podcast is one Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child fame, and I'm excited because no one's pitched Kelly before, and I think she's ripe for discussion on this show. And I'm curious to know, like, were you into her all the way at the beginning, or like, what's your history with Kelly Rowland?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I've always sort of rooted for the, it's so cliche, but I've sort of like rooted for the underdog. But by that, I even mean like, I find it really, I'm always fascinated by like the sidekick or the sidekicks, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of recurring characters, the B story, like people who are sort of relegated to the sidelines. And obviously in the trajectory of Destiny's Child, you know, it started with four, and I think Kelly was in the original, and then they had got rid of one woman or two women, and, you know, eventually brought in Michelle, and it became the trifecta that it is now. But, you know, up to that point, Kelly and I love that Kelly and Beyonce are like essentially sisters, but not by blood. And I think they grew up in different states too. Like, it's a kind of a little foggy of a story, but all that being said, I love Kelly. I just have always loved her. I think she's like super talented, and has sort of, it's interesting to watch her pave her way and like kind of find a niche on the sidelines while never genuinely seeming to resent Beyonce or try to like, you know, outdo her, you know. You just never get that sense of competition among all of them. She sort of lacks a desperation that I think that's what makes me like her so much, is she's so comfortable with, you know, killing it in the R&B world, and, you know, never necessarily making it all the way through to pop the way Beyonce has.
Yeah.
But like, I think she aims her standards a little lower, and she's, you know, a little bit, she's not as eager to be so enigmatic. And I love that. I'm like, she is like she's Target, you know. Beyonce is like Nordstrom, Kelly is Target, and I want to go to Target.
That's perfect.
And then all people also trash Michelle, which I think is incorrect and wrong. There is nothing wrong with Michelle, but that being said, like, you know, if anybody's going to be the butt of the joke, it's going to be Michelle. And I do not want to see anybody make fun of Kelly. And I think she's proven her worth musically to not ever be thought of as, you know, like a sloppy second or something.
Yeah. I mean, she's still making stuff. According to Wikipedia, she had an album on the way. This is 2020 to present. It's upcoming fifth studio album. And I think I've never thought about that before. I've never heard her say anything negative about Beyonce, which is very smart from a career perspective. But
yeah, I mean, even she shows up at like the, you know, she and Michelle showed up at the Super Bowl when Beyonce mm-hmm. did it. They popped out of the ground, and it was like, that life is so, like, that existence is so cool to me, you know? Like, that existence is so cool. They're like, you know what? I'm second fiddle, and that is okay with me. I'm going to show up for my girls' Super Bowl show. Yeah, I'm going to give it my all, and then I'm going to go back into the ground and like love that. Like, what a cool team player. And also, by the way, her music is actually very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. So, like I said, I was really happy that you brought her up, because she's someone whose music I haven't thought about in a long time, but yeah. I think about one of the songs that you put on this playlist all the time. For some reason, the chorus to "Stole" pops into my head all the time.
All the time.
Greg was always hitting net from 20 feet away, because we play basketball, and every I think about it almost every time I play basketball. It was
it's the weirdest song. It's such a weird song. Like, it's there's two versions. I happen to have like an older version somehow on my phone.
Really?
Or my iTunes or whatever, my old library. But both of them, like, they're both like, it's like an odd song. It's kind of, the theme is, basically, the theme and the video are both like "Jeremy" by Pearl Jam, but it's just by Kelly Rowland. And it's really weird, because the whole song is called "Stole," but "stole" is not really a word. It's "stolen." And she's referencing to like innocence being stolen, but she goes by, she says "stole," which is, it's all just very weird. And yet the song is like hypnotically catchy.
It really is. And it should, it charted pretty high too.
Yeah.
I was looking at it earlier. I want to look up the song facts, because I didn't realize there was controversy over what is happening in the song. So
I didn't know
that. I was reading the song facts, because the video is wild. The video is a different story from what the song is. And I think they had to do that, because they couldn't just show what the song was actually about. Because I let me see if this is how you guys took this song to be. I felt like it's a song about a kid who gets like bullied at school. He's the smart kid, but he's weird, and he shoots up the school.
That's what I took away too.
That's exactly, I've thought that my entire life ever since I heard it the first time. And it's like, it's very dark, and it's, you know, it's a pretty fucked up song to be a hit on the pop charts in 2002, you know?
And again, even weirder that it's Kelly Rowland. Like, what a weird, it's like, what?
It's so weird. So yeah, it charted number 2 in the UK, and then 27 in the States. And I was reading, so I'm reading the song facts about this, and usually song facts is pretty accurate, but this one, it says and it's because I watched the video to see what the confusion was, because people were arguing about it in the comments here. And the video is, makes it seem like the kid who's like the geeky kid or whatever brings a gun to school to kill himself.
Yeah, like Jeremy.
Yes, but he doesn't kill anybody else. It's just himself. Then they show in the video, Greg, the basketball player, gets shot like by just another kid. Like it's like it seems like it's like gang related or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then the girl who they what's her name? She put her fingers in the one who could have been an actress.
Right, who put her fingers in the. Yes. The
Chinese
Mary
theater show. Yeah, Mary. Yeah. So they're saying her life was stole, but in the video, it's just because she had a baby. Like, that's the whole thing. You can't possibly do anything else with your life after you've had a child.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. It's super weird. I didn't know that.
So I feel like I have to play the, I'm going to play the song. I mean, I was going to do this anyway, but I'm going to play the song a little bit. And it's hard not to play the full one. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but just enough to give people the story.
Yeah.
But it seems very clear by the lyrics that it is about a school shooting. So
Very much so.
I'll let the audience be the judge. Here is a "Stole" from Kelly Rowland.
Respectful to his mother, a good boy, but good don't get attention. One kid with a promise, the brightest kid in school, he's not a fool. Reading books about science and smart stuff, it's not enough, no, cause smart don't make you cool. He's not invisible anymore, with his father's mind and a broken view. As he walked through that classroom door, he's all over prime time. Every scatter
in a show. She could have been a movie star. Never got the chance to go that far.
It's so, yeah. It's like maybe just because I didn't sleep last night and I was on a train ride, but I'm like, this is so wild.
It is insane. What is that little that
I love it. It's so weird. It's so like it's like turn of the century, like neo soul, you know? It's very like, oh, it's just very like Gap store music, you know, like
you
hear it in the Gap.
But it sounds like she just out of nowhere, and just for a second, there's like a sitar playing or whatever.
That's what I mean. It's like the 2000s early sitar, like that strange part of time where pop music was like sitar inspired with like Christina Milian and like Truth Hurts. It was like, what is this moment? It was so weird.
So this song is wild for a lot of reasons. I think namely listening to it again, because I hadn't fully listened to it a long time. And honestly, this is, I don't know how to explain this, but I still get goosebumps when I listen to this song.
I know.
It's so sad, but it's also like it's so catchy.
It's so catchy.
Has no business being so catchy. No.
And also the lyrics.
The lyrics. Yeah. The
lyrics are so clunky. It paints a good picture, but it's like when she says Marilyn Monroe, it's like, what? Marilyn Monroe. Minsk theater show. It's like, my Minsk theater. It's like you're squeezing so many syllables into the strangest song, but I cannot get it out of my head.
I have to look at some of these lyrics written out because just this first, the way she's describing this kid. So I think this is why they had to make the video. They had to make like the way they made it. They couldn't make this kid a school shooter because then it just highlights how crazy her description of him is, because she's like giving him a lot of sympathy.
Yes.
Like, she's kind of saying like it's everybody's fault that he did this.
Right.
He didn't get it. He was a good boy, but good don't get attention. And then I love the line, the brightest kid in school. He's not a fool. Reading books about science.
I love
smart
it.
Stuff.
Smart don't make you cool. Smart don't make you cool.
Oh my God.
Like smart don't make you cool. That's such a turn of the century. Like that was such a relic of the like 90s, being like, you nerd.
Yeah.
You know, and now kids are like, all like every kid is like, you know, gender fluid and reads like philosophy books. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so I'm happy she clarified, because when she said the brightest kid in school, I thought, well, he must be a fool. But then she says he's not a fool.
No, so apparently.
Okay.
Not.
Okay. Now I get it.
He does smart stuff. He reads smart stuff.
Oh, he does smart stuff. Yeah.
I think that this song was maybe influencing Tommy on the train a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He almost was like, yeah, I'm the smart guy. I don't give my respect. I'm riding the damn train.
I was reading science books on there.
it's just a weirdly like super catchy song. It still makes me emotional to hear it, even though it's just insane.
The juxtaposition is very wild of lyrics.
But I mean, it's odd how it literally is like Jeremy Spork. It's like it's literally the same song.
Yeah.
A little more random, a little the sound is like stranger, but like that's the song. It's about Jeremy.
Yeah, for sure. Even though, but it's a great comparison though, because Jeremy is like more the sound you would associate with the storyline. So then he hits from this beautiful voice and this beautiful 2000s R&B song. It's just a different experience.
Exactly. It's so weird, but I love it. It's such a mismatch. It's like all the wrong elements coming together to make something like kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
And it's so anti-Beyonce.
Yes, for sure.
This would play on our bus like every in 2002 when this came out. I was hearing this on the school bus like every day, and it's such a weird song to hear on your way to school. And
everyone would point at you while I was playing too.
Yeah, you're like him. I love the flying high, the Kobe reference. Also, it's like this kid is in high school. He's got a tryout with the Sixers. That always blew my mind.
Like, so weird.
It just made it seem like, you just go try out for the Sixers. Cool.
Yeah, it's the thing you do.
All right. Well, that song blows my mind. I did not. But the comments on this are all people arguing that no, the kid is has to be a good guy. There's no way about that because he it's a, yeah only okay. So first of all, Geek at the beginning did not kill anyone else, only himself. Yeah, it's long. People are really passionate about this song. There's like, I've never seen more comments on a song on Song Facts where people are really heated arguing about whether or not it's about a school shooting or not.
I think it is because she says he's all over. She says he's all over primetime news.
Yes, and like, primetime news.
Very Columbine.
Yes.
It's clearly a reference to Columbine. I think that they clearly were like, we cannot show Columbine in a R&B music video. Exactly. So weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So that's Stole. Before we move on to the next song here, which I also love, I found a list of fun facts about Kelly Rowland that I want to see. One, if you knew them, but also I just want to share them with the audience, because it was a list of 25 facts about Kelly Rowland. And the first one, right off the bat, I was like, this is going to be a great list, because the first one is that her favorite, she's like obsessed with elephants. That's number one. Number one is, I'm obsessed with elephants. This is an interview she did where she just gave 25 facts to Us magazine.
Oh my God.
I'm obsessed with elephants. They bring luck. Oh no, there's an ad. No. But also, she says they're like, oh yeah. She said they're just so majestic. There's a reason there's a saying, the elephant in the room.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's what that is.
That's not the saying. And I mean, you're doing the context wrong, Kelly.
But so this is crazy. So I read that same list, and then I found an interview from like 2020 where she's talking about how sometimes she felt overshadowed by Beyonce. And she said having a more famous bandmate was the elephant in the room for a whole decade. It's like, oh, I guess she used it right there. But
oh my God, gets it there.
But that's incredible.
It was a 20-year journey where she figured out what the phrase was.
She's like, I'm obsessed with misusing the term elephant in the room.
Yeah, only a few years before, she thought that it was because there was something majestic in the room. Yes.
Oh, that's good luck.
Well, I always say, like, you know, I mean, this is not to be shady per se, but like, I saw Christina Aguilera perform at the Hollywood Bowl a couple weeks ago. And she was like so touched to be there because she was, you know, it was a big deal and it was sold out and she was playing with the LA Phil. And she just kept saying like, it is amazing to be here. And like this last year was insane and this is crazy. And this experience is crazy and amazing and insane. And you guys are crazy. Like just kept saying crazy and insane. And I said to my friend, like, you know, like you can always tell the mark of a musician who like, or a teen star who like didn't go to college, you know, and they don't mean that, it's not, they don't mean well, but like the vocabulary might be limited, you know? And right. It's like, yeah, cause they didn't like necessarily read a lot of books. So Christina Aguilera was just like, this is insane and crazy and amazing and crazy and amazing. And, you know, it's like, yeah, of course she thinks the elephant in the room is a feeling of majesticness.
She should have asked that genie in the bottle for more, you know, words, yes, for more descriptors. That's for right. Better
book racks,
better lexicon. Said all that sexual stuff. Yeah, that's how was the show?
It was good. She was, you know, she was really, really good. I think I was just kind of like, the whole time I was like giggling a little bit. Cause like, I guess there's a weirdness to the idea that like watching her now and seeing her, you know, when I was in like high school and like college and stuff, it hasn't, there's not been much of a evolution, you know, and her like persona, her look, her body machinations when she sings are like very drag queen to me.
Yeah.
And it's just like so fun. And the fact that she like sings, but she's not trying to sound sophisticated or like elegant. Her whole thing is doing just like gymnastics, like, you know, oral vocal gymnastics. That's her thing.
Yeah.
And so I just was giggling because the whole time it's just like screaming and like guttural. And like, obviously she's wildly talented, but there's no opportunity she doesn't take the opportunity to like do something slower and sophisticated and let us really hear the range. It's always just like snappy fingers and like tits and looks and laughs and giggles. And like, she's wearing caps and like, she's just, she is who she is. And I just, I was just giggling because it was, she looks amazing, but like not much has changed in her, her style altogether. And it was just funny to me. I don't know. She, yeah. I mean, she sounded amazing and she looked incredible, but it was just funny that she was still doing the like sassy bitch, you know, the like sassy bitch from Lady Marmalade.
It's so weird to think of like, cause that is our generation. Like when like, you know, you see like Styx or something touring or like, what's another, like just any kind of older, like 80s band touring now. For our like parents' generation, that's ours, is seeing Christina Aguilera. It's like we're taking a time machine and hopping back. And it's good for her for just letting it be that. I'm going to go right back to the early 2000s. And and it's like nothing's changed. Was she doing any new music?
No, she wasn't doing any music. She didn't even think. It sucks because she actually had like a really good album a couple years ago called like I think it was called Liberation, but she had a couple of albums that came out the past few years, maybe like the past 10 years or so. And like, there were some good songs on them, you know, like, but I don't think they did particularly well. So she didn't do any of them, which it kind of sucked. I would have loved to hear her do, but she was really trying to cover all the hits, which I think is why it was kind of funny to me, because she was sort of staying in the lane of who she was 10, 20 years ago and kind of the same sort of, you know, cock tease thing, you know, she was still doing that. And it was, I think that's what made me laugh, that she is, you know, a little older now, but still maintains that like bad bitch vibe. She does it well. She does. She looks great. She's still like sassy and sexy and all that stuff, but it's very draggy to me. And I think it's funny.
All right, I have some more. Thank you for indulging me. I'm very curious about stuff like that, where it's like bands right now. There's a show that's about to happen in New York that I was tempted to go to. It's in the beginning of August, but it's Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and I think maybe Green Day was the other one.
Wow.
And I was like, I almost want to go. I would probably enjoy that show, but I'm so curious what they're all going to do, especially Fall Out Boy, because it's like, I used to love Fall Out Boy and I don't really want to see them do their stuff. That's not the stuff that I liked, but,
I think Fall Out Boy is so good. Like even now they have, I mean, I never would have guessed that I would be a fan of Fall Out Boy, you know, like obviously Sugar Were Going Down had this like huge generational, you know, hold on everybody, because it was like emo gone mainstream, I think. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like their music over the years has still kind of progressed in a really interesting way, where they're able to like have a more alternative sound, but it kind of plays in a mainstream space that I've really always thought is just pretty good, but I also am not interested in going to see them.
They're not the at all. First not concert that I saw, and now that and I just remembered that, and now that I'm thinking of it, it was bad. So I don't know.
It's also weird that like the bassist for the band became this like tabloid sensation.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like that. That's just so it's just so strange that like him and like the guy from Good Charlotte were like lady killers, you know. It's like it's just weird. It's weird. It's like them, you know.
Yeah,
it was the Hot Topic era.
Yep, that was exactly it. I like wanted to be like them, and it was never my thing at all. But I just thought they were killing it.
Of course,
But all right, well, let's hear some more. I've got a few more facts here from Kelly. Number five on this list of 25 is, I don't like snakes, but they make. But sometimes they make really cool fashion moments.
She likes snake skin.
That has to be it. It just, it makes it sound like the snakes are doing something. Like
her stylist is a snake.
She said, I used to be a really good burper, but I left that in my 20s. I'm a lady now. All right,
Kelly. Burper? Burping?
Burper, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My beauty hack is rubbing olive oil on my hair, knees, and elbows.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard of that. But
yeah.
Olive oil, she said?
olive oil.
Wow. Okay.
Knees and elbows.
I feel like that would be a very strong scent.
I would think so too. And it just feels like, you know, you'd be slipping and sliding. Hopefully you don't trip.
Honestly, though, she sounds delicious.
Yeah, I know. You could dip a little bread on her knee.
A little balsamic vinegar in there.
This is my favorite one, and it relates to the show because Tommy is a huge Taylor Swift fan. Number 14 on this list is, one time Taylor Swift walked past me at an award show, and I'd had a shot of whiskey, and I said, "Oh my God, you're tall as fuck." I didn't know how she was going to react, but she was so cool about it. That was definitely an odd encounter. It's like, yeah, you did. You made it. Oh man. Let's see if there's any other ones here.
No. She's very open about her breast implants. And I always thought, you know, I remember reading something or whatever, just reading or hearing about her talking about how she always felt insecure about having smaller breasts. And then she got breast implants. And I was like, good for you. Like, it was, I don't know. It's just like, she looks great. Good for her. Yeah.
Good for you.
Bigger boobs. It's great. I'm happy for her.
If it makes you happy.
I just appreciate that she's open about it and like, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
I like this one. Number 23 is, I'm excited to work with TJ Maxx and the Max U project. It's all about helping women embrace their own individuality. Good for her and TJ Maxx. And the last one here is, I wish I could jump out of a plane. I don't know if my husband will let me. I just love the wording of, I just want to.
I wish I could. Well, you actually could, but yeah, it's really the results that might actually be the problem of jumping out of a plane.
I think that snake's giving her some bad advice. Oh yeah.
Also, by the way, when you said TJ Maxx, I was like, is that a producer? And then it's Max. I've never heard his stuff.
You're nobody in this business till you're a Maxinista. Right. I love the, she's like, I don't like snakes, but sometimes they do advise you to eat more fruit, which is nice. all right, we got some more songs to play here. Let's get to the next one, which I, like I said, I love this song. This is a karaoke go-to for me. You kind of need a second person for it, but it works well. Well, Tommy, actually, do you mind playing this? My thing is not working. I got it now. Yeah. For some reason, it froze up. My technology is all messed up today. The next song is Dilemma from it's Nelly and Kelly. And
Nelly and Kelly.
I this video is truly iconic to me. It has like a theme to it. It's really cool. But here's Nelly and Kelly rolling.
Even when you're with my boo, you know I'm crazy for you.
What a song.
Great song.
So good.
I felt like an idiot because I'd never realized that was Kelly Rowland singing that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And yeah, when you put it on the playlist, I was like, oh my God, I know that song so well. I've heard it a million times and I never put it together.
That's exactly why I love that moment for her, because it's like, oh wow, that's Kelly Rowland. Like, that's not Beyonce in this like chart topping earworm. That's Nelly, that's Kelly Rowland with Nelly. And like, how great is, I'm just happy for Kelly, literally.
Yeah.
Like, good for Kelly, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, and that's that Nellyville stuff. That's when Nelly's really popping too. And it's the videos he put out for that were so cool. But that one is that one's awesome.
Well, and Nelly's a genius because he, like, you know, especially in a song like that, which was so ubiquitous, he was so smart to be a rapper who also kind of sang, where you know, he's not like a trained singer per se, but he's not bad. He's not a bad singer. He's somewhere in the middle, and it like kind of allowed, I don't know, it was kind of like he laid the groundwork for like Flo Rida and Pitbull to be like, yeah, like I'm a rapper, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a quote unquote rapper, but they like sing. And it just matched so beautifully with Kelly. And, you know, her voice is just not too overpowering, and it works so perfectly there.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's, I mean, I was in love with her in this video. I was like, this woman is gorgeous, and she's, and just I mean, it's great. I didn't realize that it's like a Patti LaBelle thing.
It's sample Patti. Yeah. That's why she's in the video.
Wow.
Patti LaBelle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's killing it in it, and it's really good. Like I said, it's a pretty good little karaoke song
if you have
somebody with you to do it. But I don't envy the person who has to take Kelly's vocals on there.
I know, it's actually a hard vocal. I'm a, as a singer, I can tell you, I've tried it in karaoke and it's a little too high.
Doing Nelly's part is, I mean,
easy.
The easiest thing in the world.
That's it. It's super easy. It's in one range. If you sound bad, it's literally okay.
It's kind of good. Yeah. It's like I like to do the Ja Rule and J-Lo song too.
Yeah, that's funny because I do that in my, I have a live show that's all comedy and music based, and we've rearranged all these songs to sound like orchestral ballads because I was initially went to school for opera.
Oh,
and so all these songs are like ridiculous, and we do that's truly, having done the show for 7 years now, that duet, we do like a sort of a deep cut like jazzy version of the Ja Rule and J-Lo song, and people lose their fucking mind.
That sounds amazing.
So good. That's a go-to for me and my fiance, because frankly neither of us have great singing voices, and that's why
Ja Rule makes it easy.
Exactly.
And J-Lo too. It's truly like a combination of some of the worst singers possible, like reduced to hell, and they sound, and it's just so fun.
That's one of those, I feel like maybe we talked about this on the show, but I felt so stupid, and I've heard other people say this recently, and it's weird, maybe it's just like one of those things that's in the ether, but Rule, I did not realize I didn't realize she was spelling rule. I thought she was saying Rule.
Yeah. Yes. It's funny because we've talked about that in the show, because the woman who sings J-Lo's part was like she was referring to a girl named Ellie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is Ellie? Are you Ellie?
I thought it was like slang or something. Like, because in Nelly's stuff, he said smoke it. I think smoke a L in the back of the Bentley.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that sentence meant at all when I was a kid. I had a feeling it was something about
that was a pretty universal, I think, experience for white kids listening to like mostly black artists. And you just be like, yeah, yeah, sure. I know what that is. Sure, of course. Of course I do. I know what a smoking an L in the Benzie is. Of course.
That's where I was like, I thought R-U-L-E meant, R-U-L-E meant like, oh, like, are you down? I don't know what it meant. I have no idea, but I was just making shit up.
Yes.
I'm surprised I never tried to pull it out. Like,
that was definitely a widely shared experience that none of us wanted to say out loud. You know, you're like, okay, yeah, are you, I'm an Ellie.
I'm Ellie,
you know,
sure.
I'm Ellie, sure.
I'm down with OPP. that's a great one. And yeah, it's Ja Rule is another person who's very fun to sing.
I love the trope of rapper. Like there's such a thing as like the rapper who has a melodic, just, you know, a melodic delivery like Biggie or like Snoop Dogg or even Tupac, you know, like that is real. And that was always like, I think the most impressive form of rap when somebody is able to have such a like deliciously rhythmic and musical delivery to not, that's not singing. Mm-hmm. And when, but then like, I think 50 Cent and especially Nelly, when they're able to like legitimize the space in between.
Yeah,
it's like, it's kind of cool. I don't know, but there's also something cool about Nelly and lame about Ja Rule, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, he's not helped himself with all the like
Firefest.
He also feels like I'm as a gay guy, I feel like Nelly would be perfectly fine with me, and Ja Rule would be like creeped out or something, or yeah. he would just be like a little icy to me, and I'm basing that on literally nothing. But I'm just I would be more nervous around Ja Rule, but I feel like Nelly would be so down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like so I feel that too. I don't know why exactly, but I feel that too.
When we did Ja Rule as an episode, he did star in like a weird Christian movie.
Yes, that's right. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, and it's like those things kind of. Yeah.
I should say my one downside to Kelly is that I didn't actually see the movie, but I think she was in like one of the Jason movies or Nightmare on Elm
Street. Freddy versus Jason.
She says the F word, right?
She says the F word. And I'm like, yeah. Kelly, you don't have to use a slur. Like,
wait, what?
You have to use a slur. There's a slur.
Does she call Freddy the F word?
I think she calls Freddy the F word. And I was like, oh, come on. Yeah. Better than that.
No, that part.
Yeah, I think somebody posted that in the Facebook comments that we'll get to.
Oof, it's like, very cringy. Clip,
but they were just like, yeah, it's really weird that that's part of her lore.
I'm not going to hold it against her. I think it was made in bad taste, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she'd be canceled if she did that today, but also like somehow that still flew back then, even though it was like, okay, everyone still hates me, yeah, but all right.
There's any world where she could say that now.
No, never. I
don't think they would do that now. Even
I also
even
don't believe
Freddie
that
has his limits.
That's right. Even Freddie is like, before you kill me.
I'd love if Freddie was like, she says that to me. He's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Freddie's so offended.
You have some learning to do.
I thought that I was in your nightmares before, but this is my nightmare. I just realized we're already at like 50 minutes in. Whoa, we got to hear some more songs.
Let's do it.
Let's hear the next song on this playlist. This is I hadn't heard this song before, but okay. I enjoyed it. This is Daylight featuring Travis McCoy.
Gym Class Heroes.
Yeah, you know what era it's from when he says Paris is jail sentence.
That was my favorite part for sure.
It's immediate timestamp.
That's a great summer song too.
Yes.
Nice and fun.
I think that if I'm not mistaken, I think that song was popular in the UK.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, right. And my gay friend, like, I mean, I'm gay, but like, I have a gay friend who was like much more into like UK stuff and like sort of like disposable pop, you know, like the stuff that kind of hits and then disappears, like, which is pretty common over there. And this song was a big hit. And I don't know if it made waves here at all, but I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super.
I don't think it did, because I liked Gym Class Heroes enough and I liked her, but I never heard this song before.
Yeah.
And apparently it was recorded for the soundtrack of a French film called Asterix at the Olympic Games.
And, Asterix was like a big animated thing, I think, in France. Like it's like a kid animated movie. Yeah.
I see. That makes sense. It definitely sounds like a soundtrack song too.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I could definitely hear that being in a movie, especially from that era. This is 2008.
Yeah.
It was originally recorded in 2007, but they liked it so much. She put it on her album, and that's just a solid song.
Yeah. It's a solid, fun, upbeat song about like dancing and shit. And it's like, great. You know, like, sign me up. I love it. Another one for Kelly.
Another win for Kelly. All right. We got three songs here. So I'll play the next one here. Another one, I don't think I knew this next one either. This is Kelly Rowland and David Guetta.
Guetta, and, yeah.
This is Commander.
Yeah.
Trouble in the bass, I feel free enough to party hard. This stress won't go to waste, feels like I own the place, yeah. VIP to be the boss. You see the way these people stare, watching how I fling my hair. I'm a dance floor lover. Baby, there's no other who do it like I do it, yeah. From here on out, I'll be your commander.
That's another fun. Perfect. You know, that was killing the clubs.
It's a perfect song. It's a, like, I don't like to like quote go out or whatever, but that song makes me want to quote go out. And I love how direct it is, where it's like, I'm your commander and now I command you to dance. Like, oh my God, command me. Command me, Kelly. It's so good.
I do think, and this song was dangerous because, I feel like the DJ is my bodyguard. That got a lot of people hurt, because a lot of people were starting to feel that way. They were popping off at the club and they were like, it's okay. The DJ is actually my bodyguard.
Treble and the bass are protecting me. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're going to ass kick the DJ and spinning tunes. He doesn't see what's going on.
He's busy.
Yeah, you can't have your bodyguard needs to stick to doing one job at night. You can't have him doing two things, because
follow my command, she's saying. I don't actually know if that was like a hit here, or maybe it was also a hit.
Same deal as the last one. This was a big hit in the UK. This is number 9 on the UK charts, and it feels like I'm sure it was just a huge club hit.
Yeah, I think her thing I think she had this period, maybe it's still happening, but I'm pretty sure this was when she became pretty popular over across the pond in like the dance realm. And it was like, if I remember correctly, the album artwork for either that or one of her other songs had her looking, she looked so much like, she looks like Donna Summer. And it was like, oh, this is a weird sort of post Donna Summer dance, you know, Kelly becoming like the disco queen of the modern era moment. And I was living for it.
So good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This was produced by David Guetta and written by Rico Love, and Rico described the song's sound by saying it's just such an aggressive record. It's a club record. It's a worldwide international record. She's stretching her legs out and she's showing her true vocal ability. She's like the queen of the night on this record.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good. And, you know, David Guetta basically, I think, is who helped Sia become ubiquitous with Titanium. And I feel like she could have done that for Kelly, but maybe she's already like, she is already our sort of American royalty to begin with. But I think the UK appreciated her more for this foray into like her own dance sound. And it's so good. It's such a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very, very fun song.
Again,
I mean, if she's commanding you to the dance floor, you're doing it.
Oh my God. Of course. I don't think they have ever lip synced to this on Drag Race, but like, this is the ultimate lip sync song. If you ask me, like, definitely a song that's not, you know, that's either gone, that's sort of fallen to the wayside or just kind of flew under the radar, but like, this would destroy if it were a lip sync, lip sync for your life.
All right, next song here. This is a biggie. We got Lil Wayne on the track. It is Motivation.
Can't do anymore.
make you lose yourself and find us keepers. It go green light.
What a song.
Hear a few.
A little brainstorming.
That's the only other song on the playlist that I knew besides those first two, but I had forgotten I knew it because when I saw Motivation, I was thinking of the recent song,
the Normani one.
Yeah, which is great.
Oh yeah. I think with this one, it was like, I think this was probably her like biggest crossover, I would guess.
Yeah.
But for me also, I'm like, I love the song, but I also personally, and I know this is very weird, but I don't like songs about sex. I think like it's weird. I don't want to hear it so literally, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't want to hear songs that are like describing, now you do this, now you
do this.
Like,
I fully agree with you on this. I am in the same exact boat. I don't know what it is about that. I need a little innuendo, you know?
Yes, that's right. Like, I also like, I love R&B, but sometimes so much of it will be about like the act of sex. And I'm like, I like when you sort of bend the rules or there is more innuendo or whatever. But all that being said, it is really a sexy song. And I think it's just sounds unique. And I think that's why it had such crossover appeal personally.
Yeah. This one, by the way, Kelly, speaking of this song being sexual, she told MTV News that Motivation makes her feel extremely uber duber sexy. You do not want to hear. I'm feeling uber duber sexy. You better get an uber duber pool. Get the fuck out of here. This song topped the hot R&B hip hop song charts, but it has its detractors. There's a little bit of drama with this song. Jeff Basker, a producer on several of Beyonce's four tracks, tweeted, "How can this Kelly Rowland song with the weakest beat and melody of all time be the number one song on Urban?" Oh, what? Yeah, Wayne. He continued to bash Beyonce's former Destiny's Child colleague. "I just listened to Motivation again to see if I was too harsh in my critique. I wasn't. The lyrics are horrid as well."
Wow, that's wild. I would never think anybody would come after that song of all things.
Also, it just feels so mean to come after so Kelly Rowland. Like,
leave Kelly alone.
And it's especially alone, somebody who works with Beyonce. It's like, yeah. Doesn't she have, especially in, by 2011, Beyonce was already killing it. Like,
that man was like taken to task by the Beyhive and the Beyonce team and Tina Knowles. Like, he was spanked for that shit. What are you doing? You don't do that to Kelly. Maybe Michelle, but not Kelly. Leave Kelly alone.
Leave Kelly alone. Yeah, that's a fun song. But it's tough when it's called Motivation. I do love that Normani one a lot.
I love the Normani one too. Yeah. Also, it's sort of an underwhelming response where it should be like a song of summer kind of thing, like an anthem, and it just kind of flew under the radar, I think, to most people. And it's like, it's such a good song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the video is amazing.
Yeah, the dancing in the video is wild.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, so cool. All right, we have one last song here and another great feature. We got Pusha T on this one, and I can't believe I never heard this song too, but it's Pusha T and Kelly Rowland. It's called Street Life. Finna pop off. Finna pop off.
Good,
including me. Love it. Lest we forget,
I'm not allowed to say any of those lyrics, you know, like, it's so not supposed to come out of my mouth, but it is the most fun. It's like the most fun. I just love when somebody who's super mainstream like Kelly makes a weirder choice, you know.
Yeah,
so it's a little weird. The song is like a little weird and almost sounds like a Beyonce rejection, but I love it. I don't get it, but I love it. I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about, but I don't care.
Yeah, 100%. And this is produced by Pharrell, and it's this had a lot of firepower behind it. And I don't know how I never heard that before, but
I don't think it was necessarily a hit. I don't think it was like a single on her album, but God, I love that song.
That is the playlist, and it's quite a playlist. And now we have I found a quiz, but I don't think we have time for that. We'll save that for another day. But it was which member of Destiny's Child are you? But we'll skip that for this week, and we'll go straight to the Peanut Gallery, which is where we hear from the listeners of this very show that we are on right now. And I'm going to see if we might not have gotten any on the Patreon because I posted a little late here. Yeah, it looks like we did not get any on the Patreon.
Yeah, not Twitter either.
So we did on Facebook, though. Yeah. So straight to Facebook. We're going to the listeners of the show. By the way, if you want your comments guaranteed to be read on the show, get on that Patreon. You also get bonus episodes every week. It's $3 a month. All right. Adam Quaslow says of Kelly Rowland, she absolutely should have been a superstar in her solo career. She had all the talent, the voice, the look, the ridiculous death scene in Freddy versus Jason. Calendria deserved the world.
Calendria, yes.
And then Graham Fahey Calendria. Said, regarding the Freddy moment, she says, she dropped the bad F word and Jason killed her because he's an ally.
we can only help. We can't help but stan Jason. Can't help but stan. Can't help but stan.
So we simply must. We have no choice. But
have no choice.
Maggie Naismith said her feature in Dilemma, where she just had to sneak Nelly's name into every phrase, is so good. True. Tristan A. Smith says, I can't see why anybody would be anti-Kelly. Hey, we'll say that to the Beyonce producer. Arturo Ayala says, I will die defending Kelly Rowland. I've gotten into it with Beyonce fans that try to minimize her career. I don't care who is more of a household name. Kelly is better.
Whoa.
Beyonce is a good artist, but Kelly is elite. Dirty Laundry is better than anything B will ever do.
Damn.
Shit. Dirty Laundry is incredible. That's incredible.
Oh, that's a big statement there, Arturo. But hey, I appreciate it. I like people going big and going bold. Mike Carrazza, the creator of our theme song for the show and former guest, you know, you love him, says she did a lot more than she ever got credit for and is basically remembered as Beyonce's second fiddle, the dummy in the Nelly video who tried texting on Excel and calling Jason Voorhees an F-word in Freddy versus Jason. Wait, in the Nelly video, she's texting on Excel? I never noticed that.
That's so funny.
I think if I remember correctly, it wasn't like meant to, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it wasn't meant to look like a mistake, but obviously anybody who could text is like, what are you using? But I feel like that was also every video. Like every R. Kelly video was him on like texting through like the oldest machine possible.
It's also so funny because that was a specific time where it's like obviously texting was pretty ubiquitous, but like they still didn't really know how to show it in TV shows. They didn't figure that out until so recently, like how to make texting work.
That's right.
So like watching Dexter, I remember being so embarrassed that it was like so late in the game and they still didn't know how to make text work, where the phone would flash like text message alert or whatever. It's like that. Nobody has that.
You know what show changed that and made it normal was House of Cards. It was like the first show to like show texting like in the air above the phone. It was like, yes, thank you. Thank you, House of Cards.
Yes, they just needed to do that. Like put it in the, it's just put it on the screen. Like it's so simple.
Yeah.
And it was right there for all of us, but they figured it out. Jasmine Ellis says she's awesome. Motivation like this, love takes over. She had some bangers. Sometimes it feels like people can't say anything positive about her without saying something negative about Beyonce, which is unfortunate because they're both super talented and independent of each other. That's really funny when like two comments above someone's doing exactly what Jasmine's talking about. Jason Hillman says, I would have paid her telephone bills.
Her automobiles.
A lot of people were fascinated by this Freddy thing. Hold on. This is crazy. Oh, yeah. Jason Staples says the writers claim that it wasn't in the script. I wonder if that's true.
Oh, don't tell me. Oh, God. I'm going to have a crisis for the rest of the day.
That is insane.
Oh, no. That's what's in your mind. That's what's on the tip of your tongue. Kelly, come on. We've seen who makes your outfits, you know? Come on.
There's just two left here. Jordan Teller says, I'm sure y'all have recorded already, but she was so strong. She had mega solo potential that wasn't achieved. And I wonder what Bey's success did to her mental health. She was great. It like you said, it seems like she's handled it really well. And she was part of Beyonce's last project too.
Yes. So, but also she to her credit, I think as one of your commenters said, it's like, she's always, she works hard and keeps producing stuff. Like, even if you don't even know it, like, she's always making things. And I just, as a fan, have appreciated that she has, like, evolved. Her sounds has evolved over the years, and she's tried different stuff. And, like, the dance music is so good. And I just love that she, you know, dips her toe into different stuff now and then, tonally.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. The last one here is just Kofi Thomas saying she can sing. So that's true. And we appreciate all the comments. That brings us to the final part of the show, which is where we rate the playlist out of 6 because of 6 songs. But before we do that, you, Elliot, get the floor for your final thoughts on Kelly Rowland.
I was just thinking that, like, you know, sometimes if someone were to ask you, like, if you could be any woman, who would you be? You know, I feel like the go-to answer is, like, you know, for most people, it'd be like Beyonce or you know, whatever, whoever it is. And, like, for me, it's like, it's Kelly. Like, she's got it made. Like, she has the freedom to be, you know, famous, but, like, I feel like she can avoid the real pitfalls, you know. Also, she's just like, I don't know. I'm just like, she's so pretty. She's so pretty. And I just think she's like cool and pretty, and I want to hang out with her. So she's the woman I would be if I were a woman. I love her. I love her. I love her. And I will refuse to believe the F word thing until the day I die. I'm not even going to look it up. Don't.
All right. Well, that is beautifully put. And I think we will not, or at least I will try to not hold that against her in our rating of this playlist. And this is a tough one for me because like I said, if I were to look at the song Stole on paper, I would not like it. But listening to it today, I would be lying to myself and to the mm-hmm. listeners and to God, frankly, that mm-hmm. if I said I didn't love that song. I can't help it. There's something about it. It made the hair on my arm stand up. It's great. Dilemma is an all-time banger. I enjoyed Daylight a lot. Commander, really good. Motivation, like I said, there's something about that I was a little disappointed in, that I just had it in my head it was gonna be the other one. And like you said, I don't like a super sexual song either, but I still enjoyed this. And right off the bat, the Brainstorm line from Lil Wayne is just an all-timer. And Street Life, I feel like I should have heard it before, but it's, you know, it's pretty much up my alley. But I didn't hate it. But something that hurt this playlist is the second that it ended, the song Get It Shawty from Lloyd came on, and I just had so much fun immediately that I was like, see, now that is where I want to be living at. And
yeah,
but I still like this playlist a lot. I'm going to go with a 4.2 out of 6. I thought it was very strong. Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, I was right near you with what I was going to say. I was going to give it a 4.5 out of 6. I thought it was a lot of fun. And it was also really fun just because I knew so little about her. And I guess I did not realize how much she's done. It's, like, very impressive, just, like, between, like, all the music she's put out, the acting she did, and, like, she's been on The Voice, which I didn't even realize. It's like, oh, man, she has stayed working in a very impressive way. And, yeah, it was just cool talking about her. So 4.5 is what I would say.
Hell yeah. And, Elliot, you get to rate this playlist out of 6 as well.
Well, I'm going to dock 1 point because of Motivation, because it being, I guess, a little underwhelming compared to everything else. And also, like, I guess that Beyonce's producer is now in my head. I'm going to give it a solid 5.0.
Love it.
I think that's a great score. This was so much fun, Elliot. Is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out?
Yeah, I'll be doing my live show Haunting Renditions in September. The date is to be announced at Dynasty Typewriter, and that's the live show that I do with all the music. And hopefully I'll be bringing it back to New York, to Littlefield in Brooklyn, and maybe even some tour dates. Yeah,
hell yeah,
amazing. Definitely check that out. And I mean, if you're in LA and you haven't been to Dynasty Typewriter, that, what a great reason to go. It's a beautiful venue. Oh, too,
it's the best. And if you want to watch the John Rule video, I'm sure if you just search Elliot Glazer, and then I've already forget the name of the song, and I've done it a million times. But
yeah, I was just struggling with it too. What the hell?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
It's great to, you know the song. You people know the song. We've talked about it on the show.
I'm Real, the remix. That's what it's
I'm
called.
Real. There we go. Yeah.
So, but only the remix, not the original.
And come to our live show as well. Stand by Your Band live at Union Hall. We have Todd Barry as our guest judge, and we got Shane Torres, Lindsey Bowling, Brittany Carney, Kenise Mobley, JP McDade, Dan Yang. Who am I forgetting?
Julia Claire and Bobby Condon.
Yes. How could I forget?
It's gonna be a good show.
That's going to be great. And Good God is at the Sultan Room August 4th with Janine Garofalo the night before. Oh, yeah. The Union Hall is 8-5. That's yes. August 5th. It's like, what, next week? Week and a half.
Yeah, next Thursday. Yeah, yeah.
Anything else you got, Tommy?
Yeah, on this Wednesday in Chicago at the Lincoln Lodge, I'm doing like a last-minute show in their small room. Just do the long set for the first time in a while. So I'm excited about that. So come hang out.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Elliot Glazer. You're the best. This was so fun. And check out Elliot's show if you're in LA at Dynasty Typewriter and when he comes to New York. All right. We will see you guys next week on the show. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.